from the souls of the world of the creator is to do bags and a microphone podcast.
And now it's time for the Daily Douchebag Pledge.
Two douchebags and a microphone pledge. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to download every show. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to grab family members' phones and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to go to public computers and download the show from there. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to laugh at all the unfunny jokes. I, Joe, or Jane listener, hereby promise to lie to all my friends and tell them how good the show is. And finally, I, Joe, or Jane listener, promise to visit Montrose, Missouri to take advantage of the power plant, campgrounds, and junkyard all within its quarter mile radius.
Here at Two Douchebags and a Microphone, we don't stand behind our journalistic integrity. Go ahead and assume we got the story wrong. At least we admit it. Not like all those other guys, we can and will lie if it makes the story better.
Two douchebags and a microphone.
We talk and listen.
Two douchebags and a microphone, in an effort to keep everything fresh, we offer you first world problems.
Damn it. The city services website is down again. I can't believe this. I'm gonna have to actually call and talk to someone to pay my damn trash bill. This is ridiculous.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
How do you tell when you're out of invisible ink? Huh. I may never know.
Oh shit, what's that over there?
Oh no,
it's
this island of horrible jokes.
I asked my date to meet me at the gym. She didn't show up. I guess we're not gonna work out.
Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I am Rob.
Rob, you said it's been a busy day, so what has been going on? A lot of tedious stuff, it sounds like.
Yeah, just the good thing is it was small steel, not big steel, so I could whip more of it out, and I was just on the move all day.
I love those days, though. I used to, too, whenever I did architectural metalwork. I mean, the days like that you were just constantly busy. I mean, that you'd look up and it'd already be 4 o'clock. And it's like, oh shit, it's almost time to go.
Well, the part I liked, it was the small steel, not the big steel.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, yeah, I got it. And also, you can usually handle that by yourself. You don't have to worry about having help and all that stuff. So,
this is stuff I pick up to carry myself.
That's cool.
Maybe 100 pounds. Yeah.
Good. Good. Busy day myself. I mentioned the koi pond faltering. I get sick of it. I replaced probably fucking 15 pumps. And I'm done with it. I tore the whole thing out. I took all the fish, and they were released at a fish hatchery, I guess. I took all the fish out of there, the goldfish, the koi, all that stuff. They're all gone. And I rehomed them, and I tore the son of a bitch out, including the bridge. And the bridge is back behind the garage now, being lumber. And the whole koi pond is now dirt. So, I've never had so many problems in my life since we built that damn koi pond, and I'm done with it. So, anyhow, yeah, it's been a tedious day, but I did get to hang out with Topher for a while. We went down to the city market and had our usual coffee. We had a blast, like always. And Topher's going to be doing more. He listened to that show, and like us, he really liked that segment, you know, that he did. And he's going to do different things. He told me some other things. I don't want to spoil the surprise, but he has some very interesting subjects that he wants to tackle. And they're nothing real heavy. They're just stuff that, you know, people think about. So I think you're really going to enjoy his Straight from Topher's Desk series. That's going to be a little bit more regular from now on. He also promised to explain how he got away from the evil kale doers.
Yeah, so, yeah. He needs to explain it to everybody.
He promised.
He's explained it to us.
Yeah, he promised an explanation. So you will all get the explanation. Last you guys knew was he was kidnapped by the Kale Federation, the United Kale Federation, and it's because of me and his comments against kale. So anyhow, he got away from the evil kale doers, and he has quite a story to tell, so he will be telling that too, along with other things that interest him and some other stuff that we're talking about working on. So... and also, he is probably going to help me with getting a little bit better sound on quality on here, which is what I need. I really didn't want to get into the interface and all that. I love the studio being like it is, simple. I can fit more stuff that I love in there. I didn't want it bogged down with a bunch of equipment, right?
Right.
I wanted it to be more of a man cave that also is your Talk Is Cheap studio. So I'm going to have to get some more equipment and just be more, it's just the way it is. I got to learn some of it, which is fine because I like learning stuff like that. To me, that's not really, that's just fun. So, I'll go ahead and start going into some subjects that, that I found, worthy to talk about. And, like always, Rob, this is the first third and I want your input like always. Okay. So, if you have something you want to comment on or expand further, just let me know, and I'll shut up and let you talk. So, okay. The new healthy soda that has been flying off shelves, Poppy, has a new class action lawsuit over its gut health claims. A woman in California... do you know what I'm talking about, Rob?
No, I don't, but I'm listening.
Okay, it's a new soda that, like, just hit the United States by storm. It's spelled P-O-P-P-I, okay. Poppy. And it is supposed to be made out of all natural ingredients, I believe no sugar, and it's supposed to be for your gut health, a prebiotic and a probiotic. The prebiotic helps feed the probiotic, you know, that kind of situation. So, anyhow, a woman in California has filed a class action lawsuit over the probiotic drink. The lawsuit has a dietitian that explains a probiotic soda is typically seltzer water and has been enriched with inulin, I think it's inulin, it's kind of like insulin, but with an N. It's inulin, a fiber that is derived from chicory root that has probiotic properties. Prebiotics are a type of fiber that serve as food for probiotics. Eating the prebiotics help the probiotics thrive, which promotes gut health. The lawsuit says that the 2 grams of prebiotics in each can may not offer any health benefits, adding that most researchers say 4 grams a day are necessary for proper gut health. Now, here, okay, Rob. Does it say on there one can? What is their typical suggestion for gut health? If they say 2 cans a day, then I would think this lawsuit would hold no water, right?
Right.
Or if they put it on, if they start putting it on their packaging, do 2 cans a day for proper gut health. You know, I'll put it like this. I take Metamucil, right? I quit taking the powder because I really didn't like the taste of it, and I started using capsules. They tell you to take 5 capsules a day. They don't tell you to take one. That's the suggested use. You can take one if you want, but you may not have the same effects as 5 capsules, right?
Right.
So in this, there may be something I'm missing this, but I read the whole article, and it seems to me like she's talking about portions of it. Is that what you got?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting out of that.
Yeah.
She's talking about portion.
Yeah, and I don't know if that holds water. You know, I just say drink Poppy with a can of Mel's Five Alarm Chili. Nothing is going to bother your gut after that blowout, right?
Right.
You remember Mel's Five Alarm Chili? Is in cans for a while.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was named after that that sitcom Mel.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And anyhow, you eat one of them with one of these prebiotic drinks, and nothing is going to touch your gut. Trust me.
Yeah. So, yeah. The show's name was actually Alice. It was about
Alice. That's her. Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was called Mel's Five Alarm Chili. So,
yeah.
But anyhow, if you do that, remember to say your prayers prior. They will only help. So, okay. Pepsi has long been the number two soft drink in America for all anyone can remember, right? It's always been Coke first, Pepsi second. Well, all good things must come to an end. 2024 has finally shook up the drink industry with Dr. Pepper beating out Pepsi for the second to the top spot. Dr. Pepper has finally got the top spot, or the second top spot. No one's dethroning Coca-Cola. That's just the way it is. I have some theories to how this happened, but I'll go ahead with this article, and then I'll explain to you my theory and see what you think. You know, I'm guessing that Dr. Pepper might be a more mocktail-friendly drink, right?
Right.
Because mocktails are in, maybe you can mix stuff with that. That could be one reason. Or, you know, maybe Pepsi needs to hunt down some prebiotics to get in on some of that traction. How about a prebiotic probiotic Pepsi? Or how about a mocktail probiotic drink with Pepsi in it? Yeah. Hang on, I'm getting a text, Rob. It says, save this bag of crap for news nobody gives a shit about. Stop. I think I agree with them. Okay, so anyhow, Dr. Pepper, the reason I think it took over is, you remember when Pepsi used to be the sole distributor of Dr. Pepper? You could only find Dr. Pepper where Pepsi was served. Now, Dr. Pepper goes with Coca-Cola on the fountain drinks and also on some of the machines, the vending machines. So I think that it gets wider distribution with Coca-Cola, and that's how come it overtook Pepsi. That's what I think. If that's true or not, I don't know. But that's kind of what I gather. So PepsiCo, while we're speaking to them, they hired a blind worker for a North Carolina call center, then fired him after he requested accommodations, federal officials said in a lawsuit. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission accuses PepsiCo of discriminating against the man for his disability, according to a lawsuit filed May 31st. McClatchy News, and they're a huge news organization, they own the Star, the Kansas City Star, and a bunch of other newspapers and medias, reached out to PepsiCo for comment and did not immediately receive a response June 4th. In April 2022, the company hired the man for a customer service position at a Winston-Salem call center. Federal officials said in the lawsuit, the man told PepsiCo human resources coordinator that he was blind and asked for a screen reading software that would help him perform his job, which included fielding calls from customers, entering orders, working through issues with soda machines, and sending help to customers' locations, according to the lawsuit. The man's vocational counselor at the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services spoke with PepsiCo and offered to purchase a laptop, screen reader, and other technology as needed to help accommodate the new hire, the EEOC attorneys wrote in a lawsuit. Federal officials said the company told to the counselor it had to handle the accommodations eternally. The man's initial start date came and went as PepsiCo put him on the unpaid leave to figure out the accommodations. Officials said the company said the software couldn't accommodate a screen reader, according to the lawsuit. Human resources employees told the man they're going to get new software in 2025, but upgrading the current system to be compatible with the screen reader, which could cost up to $1 million, officials said. The company said it didn't have any other positions that would work for him and fired him, according to the lawsuit. Now, okay, Pepsi, this is what I got from it. And Rob, like always, I want to get your opinion. I'm breaking this down. Okay. Now, they were offered the laptop and everything that he would need, that that his attorney said, for him to do the job. PepsiCo is saying that they have to handle all that internally. They don't want anything unless it's internal in the company. Now, they could have a place to stand on that, saying that that software doesn't jive with theirs or something. But my main question is why would you hire the guy if you knew you had to change everything and you wasn't willing to do it? How did that happen?
My guess is somebody in HR hired him.
And they thought,
and promised him that they would make these changes. And then the upper management said, what the hell? No, I don't think so. That's my guess.
I think you're right, Rob. But I think the PepsiCo could turn the tables on this whole lawsuit. Okay.
They could.
Back when I did Architectural Metal, you know, you all know about that. I speak of it quite a bit, going out of town. I make fun of them, stuff like that, right? Okay. We had these abrasive wheels that we did finish in on metal, brass, everything, okay?
Right.
The abrasive wheels were 80, 120, 320, according to whether you're going to put a number 8 polish on it or if you're going to put a number 4 straight finish or whatever. You used a different type of a grit. Now, these loads that we put into the vertical wheel that we used were put together. They're sandpaper with some felt paper that went over to fit into your machine, right? Into your flat wheel machine, for lack of a better, you know, your vertical wheel, okay? Blind people built those, and they got money from the state for blind people to build them. How come PepsiCo couldn't go to the state and go, you know what, we want to hire more blind people. Will you help us with the cost? Because I know that's been done. This is being done in Missouri.
Right.
I think it's done everywhere where and it's designed to give people that don't have anything that they can really do something to do, you know, a skill set with a disability, and I think it's the perfect thing. I don't understand how come Pepsi's not even looking into that. It sounds like they just fired the guy and said, yeah, that's it. I think that's short-sighted and probably wrong. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm not a lawyer or nothing.
No. And all this is our opinion.
I see both sides. I do. I truly see both sides.
This is why I ask you, Rob. You always have a slightly different, if not completely different, opinion than mine, and I love it. And it's always very educated. And so go ahead.
Well, I think in the long run, Pepsi would lose because they did hire him.
Yes, I think so too.
Knowing it, you know.
Uh huh.
So I think they have. I think he has them there.
Yeah, I think
in a normal court of law, where things are fair.
Yep.
He would have them there because they went ahead and hired him. And then they want to fire him.
I agree 100%, Rob. We're all exactly on the same page with that. The only thing that I just added to it was this right here. Why couldn't they take the angle that we really want to help handicapped people, especially the blind, do these jobs? So we're going to need a little help from the federal or state level. I know there's funding for it. So, I mean...
Well, it kind of helps that my dad was a union steward 27 years. So
who was he a union steward for? I forgot.
You know.
Who was he a union steward for? I forgot.
UBEW.
Oh, UBEW. Oh, okay.
Electrical workers.
Electrical, yeah.
Workers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he worked 20-some years for Kansas City Fair and Light.
Okay.
After the day he passed away.
Wow, so he didn't get to retire at all, huh?
No, he would have, but...
Oh, my dad didn't get to retire either.
They screwed him and...
Oh.
Yeah, they screwed him and upped the retirement.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're doing up.
Yeah. They have money for everything else except
55. I could retire right now to them standards back then, you know.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. It is disgusting that the people that put in the money are the ones that aren't getting it. It's bullshit.
Right.
And right. It's bullshit how they divvy up the money. There should be a vote on how the money's divvied up. There really should. There should be a vote and say, hey, you know what? Here, you guys can't fund this because we, the people that came up with this money, don't think that's a good cause. They should constantly be audited by an outside source. I mean, there's so many things that I could get after the government about and how they fuck us over, like making your dad work till the day he died, and you and I are going to have to work till we're 80, it looks like, because we have fucking idiots.
I'm going to have to finish the day I die. I can't die at lunchtime. I got to finish the day out, man.
Yeah.
Just to pay the bill.
Yeah, and it's bullshit. It's complete bullshit. So, anyhow, we'll go ahead and move on from that. I mean, I think everybody realizes that we're not big fans of the government and Joe Biden writing a blank check and everything that he's doing is fucking us, causing inflation.
That's why we don't talk
exactly.
About it.
So I will move on. Okay. So well, anyhow, you know, I was gonna hire the blind guy to do my window washing, but I guess not now. I mean, he might sue me. Too soon?
Well, I'll hire him. I'll hire him as a helper. He can help me cut steel.
There we go. Hey, watch your face. Oh, that's going to leave a mark.
No, man. We have welders around there. I can.
Oh, shit. You're not going to fuck up his eyes.
Braille. I'll weld some Braille, you know.
And also, he can hold that while somebody's welding. It won't fuck up his eyes. They're already blind.
Right.
Yeah. What a great idea. Rob, I think we're on to something. Like always, two douchebags and microphones solving problems. We ought to just call this podcast Solving Problems.
Those that can't help themselves.
That's right. That's what we believe in here, and we're staunch supporters in that. And that's what we try to...
Always have.
Yes. Yes.
Truly.
Yes. Rob, I got a question for you. Now think about this. Do you truly want to embarrass a psychic? Let's say you know a psychic. Okay. You know how to do it?
Yeah.
And it'll look like you're doing them something good? Throw them a surprise party. That's how you become a hero, but at the same time you expose a psychic. You're welcome, America. You're welcome. And finally, or is it finally? No, it isn't. Okay. Anyhow, I got a couple more things, and we'll go to you, Rob. Like always, I'm droning on the first third, and I apologize.
You have a lot more energy at this time of day.
Yes, I do. I'm just getting wound up. So, anyhow.
And I'm getting ready to go down.
Although that fucking koi pond did take a lot out of me. Whew. Jeez, I had to move those huge rocks and stones. It sucked.
Yeah.
I should have paid someone to do it, but it's too late now. You know what? No, I got the money in my pocket I would have spent, and I did it. I just hurt a little bit. Okay, a group of Kansas biologists on the hunt for invasive species made a surprising discovery in April when they found a fish thousands of miles away from where it was spawned. Biologists with the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks Aquatic Invasive Species Crew, say that five times, we're conducting sampling operations on the Kansas River near Caw Point. You know where Caw Point is? Caw Point is where it meets the Missouri River. It's just right, it's that little triangle there. So it was almost in the Missouri River, and it would have ended up there probably. Near the Caw Point in April, when they came across a rarely seen native fish species, the fish in question is known as an American eel. The ocean species of fish is thousands of miles away from the ocean. I'm thinking maybe it heard that the record-breaking hurricane season's coming up and decided to go a little bit further inland.
That could be.
Could be. He must watch the Weather Channel.
Boogie's little ass up river.
Yeah. Smart move. Just a little jaunt. Yeah, just get in here, you know. But here we have Gorilla Hail, Derrick Hose, and Large Tornado. So good luck, Eel. Anyhow, well, this is okay, and this is a final one. Finally, there's a huge debate over what the proper name for a group of deer is. Would you guess what the name of a group of deer? There's.
I would say herd.
You hit it right on the. You did. You hit it. Well, after a huge argument, the world. This has been going on in different platforms online, and people went under. Were arguing what you call a herd of deer. Well, after a huge argument, the World Wildlife Federation has determined that the proper name for a group of deer should be a herd. Wait, hang on. I'm getting another text, Rob. Oh, no. It says, save this for shit, for news nobody gives a shit about. All right, Rob, we turn to you again to make this program more legible and enjoyable.
Hey, for the record, I like that laugh.
No, it's cool. I do self-deprecation because I think it's funny. If I didn't think that was good, I wouldn't do it. So, anyhow, go ahead, Rob.
And the funny part is I got it correct.
You did. It's a herd. And I was thinking it would be something in a herd because it was too easy. I thought, no, they wouldn't just call it a herd. They got to come up with some other gimmicky name or whatever, but no, it's a herd.
A herd of horses, a herd of cattle.
Yep.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So.
Deer. Actually, now that I think about it, yes. Because I have watched every open season movie multiple times, thanks to my son.
You see, that's all they needed to do online.
They call themselves a herd.
Well.
Elliot, the longhorn deer.
The world.
Yeah.
The World Wildlife Federation agrees with you, and they put a damper on it when they joined in this big argument and said, no, it is a herd. That's the proper name. So, anyhow, and most likely the argument probably wasn't an argument. It's just people screwing with the other people, would be my guess.
Right.
So, anyhow, Rob, you got something?
Yes, I do.
All right.
This is going to seem like a typo, but it's most definitely not. Pabst Blue Ribbon is now selling a 180 pack of beer. Yes, you can walk.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, you can walk into your local grocery store and walk out with a 180 pack of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I couldn't drink it in enough time. It would go skunky. I mean, it would be pretty cool for a party. It's like, hey, where's the drinks? And someone shows up with a 180 pack of PBR. Here you go. Here's the drinks. Hey, go ahead. I would love to see the packaging. I mean, is it does it have bands on it and a pallet? You know, a huge thick box? Did you see anything like that?
It looks like a big box of PBR.
Like a big 48 pack, only with a lot more.
Yeah.
Does it look like the size of a small refrigerator or something?
Well, according to the picture, I can't tell, but I'm going to go into the description.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Pabst Blue Ribbon's 180th anniversary in 2024. So this is in the celebration. If you think you can just carry out the beer to your car yourself, think again. A 180-pack of PBR is the equivalent of 6 30-packs. Think about that.
Ooh, there's no way. They would have to have, like, a dolly there. In-house to... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Or 2,160 ounces. If you plan heading to the store, bring a friend and possibly a dolly.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Can you imagine the truck driver? He is probably furious. He's probably like, what the fuck?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It's like, do you got my lift truck? No. Oh, man.
No, they would have to send an electric.
They would have to send a lift truck. Lift. Yeah. Yeah, a forklift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I love the idea, but it really sounds like a pain in the ass. And I don't think it'll be around really a long time. I think.
No, it's funny. You went into talking about for a party and stuff. And yeah, dude. You got to take a friend to help you get it to your car and possibly a dolly.
All of a sudden, the Ford truck, the Ford F-350 shows up with mud all over the sides. And they're like, hey, guys, we got the drinks. And they look back there and three fucking farmhands are picking up this huge thing of beer and going, come on, guys, let's dig in. Sounds great to me.
You are nailing this story all the way around.
That's it. That's what it is.
I found this story on Taste of Country.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, let's face it. That's the only people that have, like, kegger-type parties anymore. You know? I mean, there's still kegger-type parties going on out in the woods, out in the country. That doesn't happen in the city. Nobody gives a shit about kegs in the city. Agreed?
Right.
Yeah, so, anyhow, let's take our first break, because we're way late, because I keep babbling on the first third. So, anyhow, we will be right back. Thank you.
You're a man of many words.
There. Thanks. We'll talk to you guys in a minute. Two douchebags and a microphone. I'm Mark.
And I'm Rob.
I got to move my mic just a little bit. It's going to make some sound, I'm certain. Anyhow, that was it, so we're good. All right, I have a couple of things here. I got my two phone kills that I forgot about, that I was reminded about. But, let's see. I have the new Wasp tour somewhere. And I was wanting to go into that before I went into the phone kills. Let me see if I still have it on my memory, on my computer. So, have you watched any more of Let's Get to the Bottom of That? Have you listened any more?
Yeah, actually, I pulled a U. I went to the news too.
Oh, okay.
They came out with a new one about the Antichrist.
Oh, that, I'd love to hear that one.
Oh, dude, they get deep.
Cool.
Oh, I'm really enjoying these guys.
I've only got a chance to listen to a couple of them, but I'm going to be listening to more of them. I think they're pretty good. So.
Well, I went ahead and started the HAARP.
Yeah.
Was that right? The one that.
Yeah, HAARP.
Actually, if I listened, yeah.
Yeah, that thing is something else.
I'm not very far.
It's going to make me go way back in the archives to find Deep Sky, the guy that we had on our show back when it was me and Topher at the City Market, and he was covering stuff like that back then, and I've got to find that.
Oh, dude, he would fit right in with these guys.
He never did answer. I think he got freaked out because I tried to take his picture. I don't know what he was into or whatever. I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying that he didn't want his picture out there. Obviously, he got really uneasy, and then he left not too long after that. So I think I kind of screwed up by doing that. I should have never tried to take his picture. I didn't mean anything by it. I just wanted to show people that we're at the City Market, and they could call in or come by. That's all I wanted to do, but he you know, which is fine. I understand his wishes and everything afterwards.
Right.
I wish I would have known that before, but anyhow, I don't know if I can ever get a hold of him again. He claimed to be there every day, but I've been there a lot, and I've never seen him since, so anyhow. WASP had a USA tour last year, right? This tour was canceled due to Blackie Lawless having back surgery. My good buddy Davey, you know Davey. and myself were going to make a trek to Memphis to see the show. I was waiting to see the dates for rescheduling, but could not find one word. So last night I was scrolling through Facebook when I saw an advertisement for the 30th anniversary of Wasp's first album and best album, The Torture Never Stops. I looked to see if maybe this was the same venues and tickets so I could be used for the ones that I purchased in Memphis. But no, it appears they have dropped the whole USA tour, the 40th of them being a band that they did last year, and they dropped it and started another U.S. tour in favor of a different occasion. So, you see what I'm saying? Isn't that weird? They canceled, and I thought they were going to rebook this year after Blackie got better from his back surgery, right? Rob, are you there? Oh, boy. We're having issues. Rob, you there? Okay, hang on. No, you're not on Bluetooth right now. All right, everybody. Okay. Anyhow, we're going to try to resolve it.
Our constant pursuit for a real knee slapper. It's strange insults from an alien. Real hilarity.
I smell something burning. Are you trying to think again?
Oh shit. What's that over there?
Oh no. It's an island of horrible jokes.
What do you call a bundle of hay in church? Christian Bale.
All aware of the Amber Alert, right? Well, get rid of your disinfectants and rubber bedspreads, kids. It's the all-new Amber Heard Alert System. This fantastic early warning device helps one stay dry and rid of all those annoying mattress invoices. Simply hook up to child under six or psychopath and wait for the running water sound. This clever machine has three distinct settings: Babbling Brook, Ocean Waves, and Roaring River for those close calls. Order today and get a free Cinnabon Renews It cartridge.
Hey there, fuckstick. You're just in time for brand new feature news nobody gives a shit about.
A man in Colorado is recovering nicely after being bit by a rat that was hiding in his toilet.
Your mama is like the sun. Big, round, and hard to look at.
And now, Deep Thoughts with Mark.
Let's see. If a worm could talk, would it be argumentative? I may never know.
Now, from his underground bunker in Camden, in Missouri, stocked full of dried goods, canned food, and a couple of vibrating toys, it's Ramblings of a Madman, featuring Rob Rad.
When everything is coming your way, you're in the wrong line.
Now it's time for pickup lines from a loser.
Can you take me to the hospital? I just broke my leg falling for you.
Two douchebags and a microphone says, you ever dream about eating chocolate pudding and wake up with a spoon in your ass? Just asking.
So I just found it odd that they canceled the one tour and they didn't go back to the 40th of them being a band, and they went to different venues in America because they rarely play America anymore because they do much better overseas, right? And Rob, are you still there? Okay, so I really don't understand why they just never went back to the 40th anniversary of being a band tour. and they went to this 30th anniversary of their first album being released, right?
Right.
So, you know, the one before was in Memphis, and I watched them in Tulsa before that, maybe, I don't know, a year before that, they were doing the 40th anniversary, and they're going through all their stuff and everything. And I was going to go to Memphis with Davey to watch this. Remember that? We had tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they canceled that whole thing, and now they started a new tour up that is getting ready to start, kick off here really soon, and it's the 30th anniversary of their first album. So that was odd that they just totally just quit the other tour and canceled it all together and went to this. And I don't know what they're, why they did that like that. I mean, maybe they didn't get really good sales. The first album of Wasp is their best one. You think maybe it's something like that?
That could be.
Yeah. So, anyhow, another issue is, I don't see KC on there, but I did see Wichita. And I do plan on going. I already bought a couple of tickets, and I plan on going there. So KC is a much larger market.
I bet you did.
Yes. So KC is a much larger market than even Memphis, but definitely Tulsa and Wichita. Much larger, right? So how come, and this happens all the time, if I want to watch a little bit more of an obscure band, like seeing the Dead Daisies with Glenn Hughes. Glenn Hughes has never been by Kansas City, as far as I know. I mean, I don't think he'd been by there with Sabbath. He wasn't by there with Black Country Communion. And he was probably the last time he was by Kansas City, could have been when he was with Deep Purple in the 70s. I want to know, you know, so is KC just like a lame market that's full of Swifties, maybe, and it's pop music eccentric?
I don't know.
Or do the promoters here suck? Or possibly maybe it's the radio stations. You know, they don't really have a budget anymore. Odyssey has been picked up by that fucking idiot, dumbass George Soros. He bought them, and he's probably going to turn them into a certain type of station or something like that. So they don't have a budget there. As a matter of fact, they're not offering contracts. From what my understanding is, they're not offering contracts even to their talent. They're just pretty much going, oh, you can do whatever you want. So who knows what's going on with that. And 101 The Fox would not sponsor something like this, because the classic rock listeners never did like shock rock or crotch rock or gutter, you know, whatever you want to call it. Theater, rock, whatever. So, you know, Tulsa and Wichita have independent radio stations that could maybe back the show. Do you think that might be a deal?
That could be.
It could be, but I just don't understand why. You have a market that's four times the size of Wichita, at least, and four times the size of Tulsa, at least. Only Wasp goes to those two venues, and they leave Kansas City off of it. They don't even go to St. Louis. I don't understand. Is there more of a draw with a smaller venue? Do they know that people like me will drive or fly there to see it? You think maybe that could have something to do with it?
I'll tell you what. We're getting some bigger names here at Lake of the Ozarks.
You know what, Rob? You're right. And that is probably consistent with what's going on in the music scene. I'll bet you it's cheaper.
You know, okay. You know how you covered that one story, I forget who it was, it went off on the person in the crowd.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it has a lot to do with that. A lot of these artists are getting tired of the bullshit of people, you know, the crowd stirring up shit and taking away from them.
You know, I could...
Especially the older bands.
You know what, you're right.
Rock is getting older. They still want to play their music, but they want less bullshit.
Well, I'm going to let you in on something. You may already know this, but I bet you most people don't know this. Blackie Lawless has become a born-again Christian. And it took away... Yeah, that's fine. That's fine with me. That's great. I'm a Christian too, you know. So, anyhow, he didn't want to do Animal, I Fuck Like a Beast and certain songs like that, but the influx of people wanted to hear it, so he's going to go ahead and do those songs that he didn't do anymore because he was a Christian and didn't believe that that was like really necessarily godly-like behavior or whatever, you know, or going against his principles in the religion. But it took an influx of people screaming, we want these songs. So he has to play them. So, this goes along with being older, and like you said, okay, he's older, he's a born-again Christian, maybe he flat doesn't want to go to Kansas City. Maybe he flat doesn't want to go to St. Louis. I don't know. But I still think that this might be the deal, Rob. Those venues out there, like the venue, the Ozark Theater, what is yours called there in Camden?
Ozark Amphitheater.
Okay, Ozark Amphitheater. Black Oak
Small
Amphitheater
venue.
In Lampe. Tulsa, the Tulsa Theater. Wichita is a place called the Collegian or something like that. I think the smaller venues in smaller metropolitan areas don't cost as much to book. And then they know people like me from Kansas City and someone from St. Louis and someone from Oklahoma City will make the trek to Wichita to see it. That might be the whole thing right there. And less competition for your dollar. I'll bet you that's it. Less competition for your dollar in a smaller market. So,
just last night, right up the road from me at Ozark Amphitheater,
mm-hmm.
was Robert Plant and Alison Krauss.
And we don't have them in Kansas City. You're right.
They're older, they're tired, you get them bigger crowds, things get out of hand. That's when the mobs and shit happen,
Yeah, that's true.
More people want to go to concerts, chill, have a good time, listen to some good music,
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. You know what? I'll bet you that has a lot to do with it, Rob. I bet it does. And also, I bet it's cheaper to book them, too. I bet it's a little bit of everything. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you got me convinced. So, anyhow, Rob, you got something you want to go into?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
This is up around your neck of the woods.
Okay.
Overland Park native and horror movie director Darren Lynn Bozeman said his dad would have hated his next project. Specifically, how much it would have scared him. Bozeman and his dad had a yearly tradition where the two would head to the West Bottoms. You know where that's at? Every Halloween and wait in line to visit each haunted house.
Are you talking about Full Moon Productions, possibly?
It does not give that.
Oh, go ahead. I think I know who you're talking about. He has The Beast and The Edge of Hell.
A lot of people will here in a minute.
Okay.
With only three remaining in the neighborhood, The Beast, The Edge of Hell, and The Macabre. Bozeman used to joke that he would open his own.
Okay, this is a different guy, but go ahead. This is a good story.
This is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Bozeman, known for his work directing four movies in the Saw franchise.
Ooh.
And he lives in Overland Park.
Wow, okay.
Is making that joke a reality. He's teaming up with Bonner Springs Haunted House, Exile, Trail of Terror, to showcase his Hollywood tricks and bring a new bone-chilling outdoor experience.
Dude, I'm sold.
Area in the fall.
I'm sold. I'm there. I am there. That sounds fantastic. Doesn't it?
Okay. Titled, Exiled, Crooked Rose Woods.
Ooh.
New attraction, 25 miles west of Kansas City, will take visitors on a thrilling and immersive story through more than 100 acres.
Wow. Yeah, because Bonner Springs is basically, it's still the Kansas City metro area. Barely.
Right. Exiled Crooked Rose Woods opens in September at 12829 Loring Road, Bonner Springs, Kansas.
This September?
This September.
Oh, man, dude, if you come up, we'll have to go, but I'm definitely going to go. It's too bad my brother's not alive.
Yeah, dude, we're gonna throw down some yinlings and go have some fun. That's like we would in the old days.
Yep, and I got the perfect patio for September to throw down some yinlings.
People out.
There's this new patio. There's this new patio at the city market that's made out of an old trolley, the ones they had in the 20s to 40s. And it has a huge deck on the front of it. You can go there and get a yinling and just watch the sky. And in September, it's going to be beautiful weather. We'll go there, have some yinling, and then just go straight down I-70 to Bonner Springs exit and go to that place. That sounds good. Wow.
That's 12829 Loring Road, Bonner Springs, Kansas.
Fucking cool. Thank you, Rob. Let's take our second break. And we're going to come right back, and I'm going to tell about my two more phone kills that my friend, can't say his name.
I know.
Yeah, you know who it is. Anyhow, my friend.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, you've never met him, but you know who he is.
No, you've talked about him enough.
Yeah, so anyhow, he reminded me of a couple more phone kills that I had forgotten. The one in Iowa that I knew about, but I couldn't remember quite. And then another one. So, anyhow, we'll be right back in a minute.
Jammed X. What the hell happened? You were the generation of change. You never wanted to be one of them. Apathy spoke for you. Bunk the man, bunk the system. What the hell happened? The generation of angst, the generation of noncompliance, is now buying a boat? You're really fed up until someone dangled a dollar near you. Great job, Xers. Everything's ruined.
Tomorrow morning, while grinding your coffee beans for your double mocha latte, remember to not get your genitals caught in the grinder. It really hurts. And who can afford plastic surgery? Stay safe, everyone.
Hi, all. This is Chicago. I am the most dangerous city in North America. You can't touch me.
Oh, yeah? This is Kansas City here. Hold my beer, bitch.
Hello, this is Satan. You might know me from my pet name, Inflation. I'm here to tell you that there's no better way to relax than listen to Two Douchebags and Microphone by a nice warm fire at night. I sit there and I reflect on all the souls I burned that day. Enjoy.
The apocalypse just happened. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But we can tell you what you can eat.
How to stay clean during an apocalypse. Plant oils such as cedarwood, rosewood, and rose are often added to soaps to impart their scents. The fruits of several native North American plants contain sufficient levels of saponin to produce lather and can be used as soaps or shampoos.
Have you ever wondered where something came about? Have you ever looked at something and said, I wonder what the origin of that is? Well, so have we. That's why we give you the origin of
This is the story of Dr. Pepper. Originally made in Morrison's old corner drugstore in Waco, Texas, the drink's unique flavor was a hit when it was first sold in 1885. Wade Morrison, the drugstore owner, named it Dr. Pepper, after Dr. Charles Pepper, a Virginia doctor who the father of a girl, Morrison, he was once in love with. You can still go to the Dr. Pepper Museum and still purchase the original formula with pure artesian well water and pure cane sugar. It's quite a treat if you're into Dr. Pepper.
I'm Rob.
You know what? I might invite the said person that I can't say his name that I used to work with along with us. And we can ask him about some stories he remember, like the time we're up in Massachusetts and it got icy one night and we took the rental out and did donuts and we actually ripped the muffler halfway off and we actually took some clothes hanger and got it up to where you couldn't hear it very well and we took it back the next day and then we re-rented a car after that. And we said that, you know, we're turning it in. Then we re-rented another one from a different agency and they never caught us. we were doing donuts and we hit some sort of a rock that we didn't see or something, but anyhow, okay, here's two more phone kills from Mark.
Just me. Saying that's never happened before. Never.
Yeah. Okay, Iowa, in a Des Moines Medical Plaza, or Des Moines, not Des Moines, Des Moines Medical Plaza, we put in 6-foot-tall pieces of glass, one on the slope up and one on the slope right next to it down. You know what I mean? You ever go into a mall or something, or a medical mall, and they have the steps going up and the stairs going down, and there's a huge piece of glass in, on each side, right? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that kind of a design. And the railings are, you know, goes along with the glass there. So... anyhow, I was reaching over to take pictures that the proof looked, you know, the proof that the job looked good. You'd have to do that because some idiot would come by later and scratch it all up or something or break something out. They couldn't blame it on you. You go, oh, no, no, it looked great. Here's my pictures. And then they'd have to back down and go, okay, well, we need to go after someone else that screwed them up, right? So a skid loader dropped this huge job box in the middle of the bare concrete floor. And my phone fell due to the shaking of the building and me being on a stepladder. My phone landed in the middle of the space. Okay, so the space in between is probably about 8 inches, right? Between both glasses. And it's 6 foot up. So you couldn't reach in there to get it. There's no way. I mean, it's like no man's land in there. And it's just sitting there right on a slope. I tried to push it down. But it got lodged in between the two sides. There's a groove there. And I couldn't push it down. So I tried one of those plastic grabbers. Wouldn't work. I tried a strong magnet. Nothing. There's nothing I could do to retrieve my phone. It's probably still there. Because you, unless they broke some glass out or redesigned it, my phone's probably still there. So anyhow, you know, I'm thinking about taking a road trip up there just to see if it's there. I mean, so there's nothing I could do. All I could do is look at my phone and go, fuck, I guess it's gone. There's nothing I can do. It's wedged in there. I can't get in between there. A grabber won't go far enough to it. A magnet won't work. I'm toast. So I had to get another phone. And then there's this one up in White Plains, New York. I was putting in, do you know what shoebase is?
No.
Okay. Shoebase is a block of aluminum that you put along balcony edges in a building, and it holds the glass in. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? It has a slot. It's slotted. Okay, yeah. A lot of times you don't see it because it's at the floor level, and we cover it up with flashing or trim or something. Okay. Well, we were putting that in. And we were putting on the adhesives before we put on the bolts. And I had my phone right next to me. And the adhesive spilled over and solided my phone to the floor. So, that was another one. I went back to go get it, and I could not get it off the floor. And then I started chipping it away, and I tore it to shit trying to chip it away. And so those are the two kills I forgot about that my friend reminded me of. So anyhow, Rob, we turn to you.
Okay, I'm going to step back to World War II on you here.
All right.
The MK-6 nuclear bomb, a step up from the bomb used in Nagasaki during World War II, had multiple versions created. This development happened between 1951 and 1955, and the bomb remained operational until 1962. Throughout this period, more than 1,000 bombs were manufactured with different nuclear yields. On March 11, 1958, a Boeing B-47 Stratojet embarked from Hunter Army Airfield, Georgia, carrying an air crew from the 375th Bombardment Squadron, 308th Bombardment Wing. The strategic bomber was en route to the United Kingdom before flying from there to North Africa to participate in Operation Snow Flurry, where pilots would practice mock bomb drops. While just a training exercise, the B-47's crew felt pressured as the exercise was timed. Before they departed, the men had haphazardly placed their MK-6 nuclear bomb in the bomb bag as they struggled to secure it. They resorted to placing the explosive in a sling and hammering the steel locking pin until it locked, and they took off from the airfield. The mechanism disengaged. As per protocol, it failed to re-engage once the B-47 was airborne.
Oh, boy.
Okay, the navigator and bombardier was informed. While examining the area, navigator and bombardier Captain Bruce Kulka was informed about the issue. While examining the area, he accidentally pulled the emergency release pin.
Kind of a big mistake.
Causing the bomb to fall 15,000 to 20,000 feet to the ground.
Now, why didn't it?
Was in danger of falling out of that open bomb bay, but managed to save himself. The MK-6 nuclear bomb crashed into a playhouse that a man named Bill Gray had built for his children. At the time, his kids were playing approximately 200 feet away.
Oh my.
The playhouse was destroyed in the blast, and the bomb left a 70-foot-wide crater. Children and his wife all sustained injuries, and 7 nearby buildings were damaged.
Now, you said it was a nuclear bomb. Was it an atom bomb or an actual nuclear bomb?
No, it's a nuclear bomb. But...
Okay, I don't understand... It would have done much more damage than that.
Let me go on here.
Okay.
Remarkably, none of the individuals affected by the explosion sustained severe injuries, as the fissile nuclear core of the M6 nuclear bomb was stored in a different section of the B-47.
Oh, so they had to throw them out in tandem for the actual bomb.
The nuclear part was
Okay, what now I get it.
What exploded was the TNT within the device.
Okay. So that blast that alone is pretty potent.
TNT in it, but the nuclear part was still on the plane, thank God.
Yeah.
That would have been catastrophic.
Yeah, in North Carolina. Because, oh, yeah.
Because this happened in Mars Bluff, South Carolina.
Oh, South Carolina. Wow. Jeez.
In 1958.
Are you done with the story? Because I got something for everybody.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. The closest we ever came to nuclear war, most people don't know about. And this was in a Secretary of Defense's book before he died, I believe. I can't think of the guy's name. I'll look it up if someone wants me to, or you can do the research yourself. You can Google it or whatever, or Bing it or whatever you got to do. But it was in the book. It was during the Nixon administration, and there was some sort of a computer glitch that looked like Russia launched all their nuclear weapons and they were in air coming to us. So I guess the president doesn't get that first. Someone else, like the Secretary of Defense or someone internally gets that, and then they call the red phone. You know, the infamous red phone? They call the red phone at the White House and they go, "Prez, here's what's going on." So the deal is they call in, and if it's a red phone, the president gets woke up immediately and says, "You have to deal with this right now." So Nixon goes in there, and they say, "Well, you know what? It appears like Russia launched all their nuclear weapons at us. What do you need us to do?" And he said, "I need you to check again." They checked again, and it looked the same. They're like, "It really appears like they're launched all their nuclear weapons." So he goes, "I want you to check one more time." So he checked one more time. They saw the same thing. So then Nixon said, "I'm going to leave it up to you what you think we need to do. If you think this is an actual thing, then send them all over there. But if you determine different, I trust you." He goes back and he checks again. And he notices some irregulars, like some of the bombs weren't actually there. He goes, wait a minute. There is something else going on here, like a glitch or something, because suddenly half the bombs or something like that disappeared. And he checked it out a couple more times, and it was a computer glitch. And we were probably about 30 seconds away from nuclear holocaust. And nobody knew about it.
I believe it.
Nobody knew about it till that guy wrote that book, I believe in the late 90s. And he's dead. He died right after that. And that's why he exposed it. He's like, "What do I got to lose? I'm getting ready to die anyhow." He's like 98 or something, and he was sickly. And he's like, "I'm just going to send this book out that I've been kind of like pilfering writing on here and there." Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Do you remember the 80s movie War Games?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not that far different. You're right. I didn't even think about it like that. You know, maybe.
But that was with older technology. Now you got AI that can run the shit. You know?
I hope they never turn out something like that to AI.
Oh my God.
Topher and I was talking about.
Well, AI probably already knows about nuclear.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you turn this shit over to them. What if one of them turns rogue and just wants to start a nuclear war for shits and giggles?
Yeah. I mean, now, building one, they don't have opposing thumbs.
Yeah, that's true. No. I'm not worried about them building one. I'm worried about one in existence them getting a hold of it.
Breaking in, hacking into computers and launching them?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a different story. That's where we need John Connor.
John Connor cannot get here quick enough. So, anyhow, for a lot of different reasons, but mainly for AI. So, let's see. Trying to think here. Okay. I got this one I've been wanting to go to here. Do you have something really pertinent you want to get to, Rob, or is this story going to be okay?
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay. All right.
I mean, yeah, I got stuff.
And then if you still want to, if you still want to keep this going, we can go with your next. Okay. First off, hello, Grandma. Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ricky. Dodge City, Kansas. Love you guys.
Hi, Grandma. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Ricky. Hi, Montrose.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Hi, Montrose. We love you guys.
They're feeling a little... Yeah, they need a little love right now.
Also, and also you're building them a lake. We forgot to go into that on the emails. We covered most everything else, but also you're bringing your equipment down to build them a lake or a pond.
Yeah, I got a week's vacation coming end of July.
Yeah, and he's going to build him a pond, give him a grain silo, but he's having problems locating one because all the nasty naders took them all out. So So anyhow, here we go. The tragic death of a Massachusetts teenager who collapsed after eating an extremely spicy tortilla chip last year may prompt both doctors and food manufacturers to take a closer look at the ingredients that provides the punch, capsaicin. Capsaicin is the ingredient that accelerates the heat and makes it unbearable to a lot of people like me. I couldn't do it. So Harris Woolabath died in September at age of 14 from cardiopulmonary arrest in the setting of recent indigestion of food substance that had a high capsaicin concentration, capsaicin concentration, according to a statement released Thursday by Elaine Driscoll, a spokesperson for the Massachusetts Executive Office of Public Safety and Security. He had consumed a chip manufactured by Packy, which was packed with the chili pepper extract and marketed as One Chip Challenge. I think we all remember them. Remember those One Chip Challenges?
Yeah. The One Chip Challenge. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, well, this kid died. A lot of them went to the hospital, too. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember hearing something about that. Yeah,
I think this case is going to force us to pause and look more closely at capsaicin. I think it's capsaicin, but whatever it is, and its efforts. Dr. Stuart Berger, head of cardiology at Laurie Children's Heart Center in Chicago. It is not known whether the family was aware of the health issue before the teen's death. Woolbatch parents did not immediately respond to a request for comment. It looks to me like they might be filing some sort of a lawsuit. And it also looks to me like... I don't know about federally, but maybe at least state-wise, they're looking at banning that capsaicin that is partly responsible for bringing all the heat onto the chip, which gave the kid the heart attack who already had somewhat of a heart issue, you see. So, anyhow. All right, Rob, we turn to you.
All right. I have one list tonight. Not music. It's the 10 most vicious animals that look cute.
Cool. I like this. I like this a lot. Like a badger? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of stuff on here. Okay. First up. Swans are related to geese and ducks and are considered to be the most beautiful and elegant of the three waterfowl species.
Yep.
They definitely appear to be calm creatures. The mute swan, however, is quiet but fierce, and males are extremely territorial during the breeding season.
Uh-huh.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
Yeah.
It's considered to be one of the most dangerous birds in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next. Koala. Koalas
what?
Are a native.
Oh, koalas. Okay.
Eastern.
I didn't hear, but then you said koalas again. I said, okay, I heard it.
Koalas. They're native of Eastern Australia and share some traits of wombats, who are their closest relative. They eat the leaves of the eucalyptus, which is known to contain toxic materials that are very harmful when consumed in high doses. However, koalas have a specially designed digestive system that separates and expels toxins from their body.
Uh-huh.
They have been termed as endangered species in February 2022 and have been granted added protection from poaching and loss of habitat.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, the toxins that they eat that harm you.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know that, but I do now, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, come on, everybody. Koala is one of the cutest things on the earth. They're harmful. If they bite you, they are, yeah.
I didn't know that. I knew that they can be aggressive, but I didn't know that they had toxins like that, so anyhow.
Yeah. Next, the platypus looks like a strange animal hybrid with the beak of a duck, the legs of an otter, and the tail of a beaver.
Yeah, they are freaky.
Even so, it's pretty adorable looking. What you would find out when you're up close and personal with it is that the males have venomous spurs on the elbows and knees.
A duck-billed platypus does?
Of their hind feet.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Venomous spurs.
But only the males, not the females?
Yeah, only the males.
Okay.
Which they use to sting with. For a mammal, that's very rare to have venom, which is something reserved for spiders, reptiles, and amphibians.
Mm-hmm.
While not deadly to humans, it can kill dogs and other small animals.
Okay.
And for humans, the sting is lingering effects such as increased pain, sensitivity, and muscular atrophy. Okay, now we're going to go into another bird. And I hope I get close on the pronunciation.
Okay.
The hooded patooey, it's spelled P-I-T-O-H-U-I.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say patooey. It's one of the three patooey species and is a small passerine bird with a powerful beak, dark red eyes, and black and red or orange or black feathers, making it colorful and cute. All patooies are deadly though, because they have toxin in their skin and feathers called batraxotoxin.
Okay.
I actually tried to practice on that.
I'm going to go with that. Sounds good to me.
Well, it's a neurotoxic alkaloid.
Oh.
That they get from the myeloid beetles they eat. It is the same toxin as that of the poison dart frog.
Also the black
South
widow.
America.
The black widow spider also has neurotoxin. It affects your nervous system.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Those are particularly dangerous. They may not kill you, but they will fuck your nervous system up, all your nerves. So anyhow, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. The hooded patooey is the deadliest of the three species.
Wow.
And what the toxin normally has a burning, tingling, painful sensation on humans, that touch the bird, high enough doses to cause paralysis, cardiac arrest, and death.
Ooh. Wow. It must be a more potent venom, because they claim that most black widows will not kill a healthy person, but it will attack your nerves and do a number on you. But I also know where actually someone relatively famous died from a brown recluse spider, and that's Frank Hannon from Slayer.
Right.
Yeah, remember that? He was bitten by a brown recluse. He got sepsis, the blood infection, and it killed him. But this neurotoxin sounds like it's extremely potent and deadly, because it can stop your heart, all different kinds of things. Wow. Anyhow, right. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay, the next couple are going to be... there'll be a couple quick ones.
Okay, no.
There's the red box.
The red fox?
Yeah.
I know people that feed them.
They look adorable enough to make them a popular subject of wildlife photography. However, they are one of the most cunning animals on the planet. They are good at hiding while living close to humans.
Mm-hmm.
They are also dominant to all other fox species, except the Arctic fox, which lives too far north. The red fox is the largest species of true foxes. And while foxes are typically shy of humans, they are surprisingly dangerous. It is known to be a top carrier of rabies.
Oh.
But what's secretly terrifying is that those living near urban areas have been known to not only attack humans, but to carry off babies and small pets.
Wow.
I don't know where they get this information. Well, where they get this information, but that's what it says.
I know people that feed foxes by hand. Wow.
I've known that, too.
And the red foxes, too.
Know, but... Maybe it's just...
I can believe it, Rob. I think...
I don't know.
These people are just fortunate that it didn't have rabies or whatever, but I know foxes are very cunning. They will sneak into chicken houses, they'll eat chickens, they'll eat eggs, and they will rob a farmer blind. I think a farmer would rather have a coyote than a fox on his land. So... I get it.
My grandpa had a squirrel gun, he had a rabbit gun, and he had a fox gun.
Yep, that's because they're so invasive.
And of course, his deer rifle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's for food. Or anyone that, or anyone that fucks with him, right?
Right.
Yeah, anyhow, go ahead.
No, that was a totally different gun.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
They lived on a farm, you know. Hey.
Oh, no. No one come fucking around there. And they knew. You know what I mean? Right. Everybody knew that all the farmers had guns and they will use them. So nobody fuck around on any of those farms.
Plus their animals would wake them up, you know?
Oh, yeah. No. If you get spotted, you might as well forget it.
Some dumbasses didn't realize that.
Yeah, I know some people that ran as hard as they could and was so out of breath they almost killed themselves because the farmer down the road come at them on an old tractor and a shotgun.
Yeah.
Yep, happened all the time. So anyhow, you have another one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's five more.
Oh, okay.
One is Dingo.
Yeah, yep, they're mean little fucks.
Which is pretty much an Australian wild dog.
Yeah.
And if they're wild, you don't want to mess with them.
No.
Next, the red kangaroo is the national animal of Australia, and many people are familiar with the animal.
Mm-hmm.
This undeniably cute, but with its large size, powerful hind legs, and sharp claws, the kangaroo is surprisingly dangerous. I think a lot of people knew that, too.
Yeah,
they'll beat the hell out of you.
I'm just thinking Australians have nothing to pet, koalas or kangaroos.
Right.
And probably alligators, too. They're fucked. Wow.
Man, they got wildebeest.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm sure they have dogs, too.
I have not seen anything about wildebeest on any list.
Okay, they must be friendly and docile.
Next, the leopard seal. Who doesn't think seals are cute?
Oh, yeah.
There's no denying the leopard seal is a species with a charm of its own, but it has something else, a thirst for blood.
A leopard seal?
While its main diet consists of penguins and has been known to actively stalk and hunt humans in the water.
Wow. Will it kill them? Does it say?
Yeah.
Wow. A leopard
it's
seal.
It's powerful and will kill you. Hence the leopard in its common name.
Wow. A leopard seal. So this is a seal, but a different variety, I guess.
Okay. It's also indirectly dangerous, as it is known to attack black pontoons of inflatable boats.
Ooh. Yeah, okay. That sounds bad.
Okay, the next one. The dolphin.
Flipper.
The dolphin has something of a mixed reputation. Humans love studying and interacting with intelligent, beautiful creatures in captivity. And there are many stories of dolphins helping people.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also surprisingly dangerous, especially in the wild. That makes sense.
It really does, yep.
A wild animal compared to a domesticated animal.
Yeah. I get it.
What's secretly terrifying to know is that a dolphin can and does bite humans with its sharp teeth on occasion and will kill you if it pulls you underwater or plows you into you with its powerful snout.
Wow.
Which is known. Dolphins.
Well, that's what they do to sharks. Yeah. Okay.
Come on, the old TV show Flipper.
Yep.
Yeah.
He ran off plenty of shark.
Okay, and finally, man, these little dudes are cute.
Okay.
The slow loris is a species of primate that looks downright cuddly. They do, man.
Yeah, I would agree.
They got big eyes. They're cute. You would be right to assume that it's usually a very calm creature.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, it's a venomous primate and the only one in existence, which is why it's the top of vicious animals that look cute.
Uh-huh.
It's also one of the most venomous animals around. You also wouldn't believe where their venom is.
Where?
It's in their elbow.
Wow.
Their venom mixed with saliva produces a deadly cocktail that will kill you through anaphylactic shock.
Uh-huh. So like an allergic reaction, it sounds like.
Yeah. But I think I recognize this thing.
Okay.
Do you know the cartoon Madagascar?
Yes.
Okay. You know, there was the, what was he? The team that Weird Mo-
I'm not really.
I can't remember his name. His followers, yeah. I think, is this creature.
Okay.
A lemur.
A lemur, okay, yep.
Okay, he was a cartoon character, he was a lemur, and they called it, you know, he was king of the, you know. But his groupie, you know, his peasant dude, looks just like this.
Okay.
And I'm thinking that might be what he was supposed to be. I'm going to do some research into that.
Uh-huh.
Here, they just ran it down just by names. I didn't have to read all that shit.
Uh-huh.
I could have saved myself some time.
Oh, well, that was... Dude, that was a really... I love that. That was really good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. All right. We are way, way over our time here, so you want to go ahead and put a bow on this bitch and call it good?
Yeah, I got to work in the morning, bro.
Yeah, it's like 15 to 10, so, yep. Yeah. All right, thank you, everybody, for listening. You guys are still solid, doing us so good. We're gaining so much ground. We have a base of listeners much higher now because when we're making those multiple gains last month and the month before, where I don't know if we were featured on something or whatever, algorithms, however they do it, we were gaining a bunch of new listeners. Well, a lot of them stuck around, which is very cool. It didn't dip down, you know, the graph that they show on there on RSS feed. It isn't dipping. It's continually going up. So thank you, guys. Keep spreading the word. So, anyhow, everybody have a good night. Thank you, assholes.
Good night, assholes.
Oh, no. Looks like the show's over, kids. Mark has explosive diarrhea and can't afford a wireless mic. Fear not, assholes. They'll be back invading your ear holes soon.